Have you ever faced losing absolutely everything you've worked for in your life? Everything you've built over time. That's what many small and medium-sized businesses are facing today in Queensland, as Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk warns that the border closure may continue past September. Now, it's not clear at this point in time, but either way, an embarrassing war of words has broken out between MPs in each of the states of the east coast of Australia and the west coast, as it turns out, over whether or not borders should be open, with accusations being thrown around by the premiers as to, who's better, my dad's bigger than your dad, those sort of silly arguments. In the meantime, Small Business Australia, the lobby group, says that Australia could see 700,000 small businesses permanently closed in coming months on current national trends. Bill Lang is the executive director of Small Business Australia. Bill Lang, where does that figure come from? How do you arrive at that extraordinary figure?
Yeah, g'day, Steve. ACA Research has been interviewing 300 business owners around the country each week now for the last 5 weeks. And as of 2 weeks ago, there was already 20% of our 2.2 million small businesses, so 440,000, had already closed, either temporarily or permanently. So that was as of a couple of weeks ago. When you start playing out a few other statistics around how confident people are feeling, how much their sales are down, the uncertainty about the future, when the border's opening up, when can people get back to business, when will people know how safe it is to be able to get back up and about, it looks like it could be 700,000.
That's an extraordinary figure, Bill. I'm having trouble getting my head around it, to be honest.
Yeah, look, we always hear about small business being the economic backbone and the engine room, and we hear those words all the time. But I think more important than that, Steve, is small business owners are the heart and soul of the local communities. They provide the work experience for the school kids and the after school jobs, and donate the prizes down there at the rugby club for the raffle. So we've got to do whatever we can to keep them going. And there's a big issue that's coming on the radar screen, which is around how bankruptcy works in the country.
We'll come to the bankruptcy thing in a moment, but currently the premiers of Australia are sort of bickering about, whose state is better than the others. I don't know what real relevance that's got to do with opening the borders. So what are the implications of the Queensland Premier's indication that the borders may even still be shut past September, possibly?
Well, look, Queensland, perfect one day, better the next. Major source of revenue and economic activity for the state. People from down south coming up, people from overseas coming in for holidays, students coming to study there. You think about the number of businesses from the Gold Coast up and along the coast there that are so dependent upon effectively the visitor economy. And if you can't have any visitors, you won't have any businesses.
My thinking is that there's a fair bit of hyperbole around in many corners at the moment, but there seems to be a disconnect. You're indicating that small businesses in a lot more dire straits than certainly the stock market seems to indicate, and the Reserve Bank a governor seems to be indicating that things are more resilient in Australia than people realise. Can you speak to that at all, Bill?
Yeah, look, I think the stock market is mainly made up of big companies with strong balance sheets, and they're going to be okay. Qantas is going to be okay whether Virgin survives or not. It's pretty easy to make money when you've only got one competitor. So big businesses can look after themselves, so that they don't really need any help from the government. And we're not really a small business saying we need more specific help and more handouts from the government. Small business people are proud people; they take the risks. But there are implications of the current system that's in place. And unless that gets changed, it's going to lead to a lot of people giving up hope. And when they give up hope, they just can't keep going.
The agreed date by the National Cabinet was July 10, but it is the Premier's call. In other words, it is within the rights of each of the Premiers to say what they think is best for their states.
Well, that's certainly the way our federation works in terms of the Constitution and everything. But we wouldn't say if we had a clean sheet of paper, we'd necessarily design it, that way. But the reality is, each premier and each government in each state has the prime responsibility for economic activity starting again in those states.
So, Bill Lang, Bill Lang is the executive director of Small Business Australia. Bill, on what evidence do you say in your statement that you released today that if this what's going on now continues, we face numbers that will eclipse the Great Depression? That's your phrase, the Great Depression.
Yeah, well, in terms of the unemployment rate during the Great Depression, if we actually look at now the number of people that are on JobKeeper plus JobSeeker, Plus, there's at least 500,000 people that are no longer saying they're looking for a job because they've given up or they've got to stay at home and look after the children at the moment because they can't go to school. You add those numbers up across the adult working population in Australia and compare it to what's actually happening in the US. And they might be hearing words like we're more resilient. Well, the proof will be in the pudding. Now, we're well and truly on the track to effectively having a good 20-odd percent of people not having the amount of work that they had, you know, as of November and December.
It's interesting, isn't it? Your comments are echoing the comments I read in the papers yesterday by the head of MYOB, you know, that business accountancy software company. He said, look, things aren't as good as people realise. That the only thing that's keeping us afloat at the moment is JobKeeper and JobSeeker. And you're echoing that by the sounds of it.
Yeah, look, and the guys at MYOB, they have half of the small businesses in Australia, more than 1 million of them use their software. So they, you know, have some insight as to what's going on with the revenues and the cash flows in those businesses. And I think I read they've had to lay off in that very successful software company, you know, on the stock market, 120-something employees. So it's, I think it's a bit of a reality check here, and we've just got to be thinking through what sorts of areas we need to get some practical changes taking place, both at state and federal levels.
Well, let's look at a state level. You're calling for a change to bankruptcy laws here. Why?
Yeah, so the federal law looks after the bankruptcy area, but at the moment it's very easy once it comes to the sort of end of September. It's going to be easy for business owners and individuals that run very small businesses in their own name to be made bankrupt. Now, the implications of that for most of these businesses, they have been made bankrupt because of government policy and changes to the economy. It's not because they've borrowed too much money, have been poor business people, have been fraudulent. They have had their businesses, their livelihoods, their asset bases taken away from them. So why should they have to have the consequences of several years of a bad name, not being able to access credit, when they may not even be able to get a passport, may not be able to get visas to go to other countries in the future, that in fact all those implications and consequences through no fault of their own. The second thing is, as they're looking at that, you know, they're giving up hope. It has a whole bunch of health-related issues, but these are, again, the heart and soul and the enterprising people in our communities. We have to be making changes to keep them going, to give them the best chance of getting through and thriving.
So exactly what sort of change should happen to the Bankruptcy Act?
Well, without getting into the specifics of it, because it is quite complicated, you know, what we're calling for is a concept of a COVID insolvency. So we even avoid the use of the word bankrupt and that you've been made bankrupt, but you've worked up a very simple plan with the people that you owe money to because you are currently COVID insolvent. Your business is able to still operate. You're still able to do the things that you were doing to get the business through, but you're not going to be put out of business and have the stigma and all the consequences of being a formal bankrupt.
It wouldn't be too hard, I imagine, for the federal government to do that in the state to sort of harmonise their laws in relation to bankruptcy.
Yeah, look, I think that's absolutely right. You've hit the nail on the head there, Steve. And the other thing at the state level is one of the big expenses that could well cause bankruptcy is renting your business premises. Now, of course, in terms of landlords, at the moment, various states have got various approaches where, you know, you can't remove tenants, et cetera, et cetera. But it will often be those landlords as the biggest expense that's left for many of these businesses to cause it. Now, those laws are typically state territory matters. So it's something for every state government to be looking at now and working out what's the change going to be. These businesses are losing revenue as a result of the policies that have been put in place. How do we share the financial pain rather than it all ending up in the lap of the poor little small business owner?
Well, we asked one of the really big ones yesterday about this, as fate would have it. Bill, one of the big shopping centre companies, Centia, you know, they run the big Westfields these days. And in a statement, they told us the federal government's code of conduct facilitates the provision of rent relief targeted at small business retailers, and discussions are on foot to provide relief and help small retailers get to the other side. Has that progressed anywhere useful as far as you're concerned?
Look, we haven't seen any outcomes of that. We've certainly had some of our members say they've got conversations taking place, but while the conversations take place, they keep then getting the invoice from the real estate agent, you know, directly for, you know, the rent they're selling on the premises. And okay, in some cases, you know, gymnasiums and things, they're not even open. So the bill for the rent's still coming along now. So they're not that confident that in many cases this will actually work out.
Coming up to 20 past four, this is ABC Radio Brisbane. I'm speaking with Bill Lang, Executive Director of Small Business Australia. Bill's organisation is really worried about small business in Australia losing everything that the owners have worked for through no fault of their own. Queensland has the highest number of bankruptcies in Australia, last time I checked, Bill, but this is also largely due to the fact that Queensland is quite an entrepreneurial place. You know, there's quite a sort of have a go sort of spirit here. The structure of the Australian economy, how does it look to you? The Reserve Bank, Treasury seems to indicate that they think it's quite robust. Do you agree? Quite resilient.
Well, I think if you look at the issues we've got taking place just with our trade with China at the moment, and, you know, 80-odd billion of more than a trillion, which is, you know, commodities go out of the ground. We don't set the price. But the services that we export, education, tourism, the food-related products, all of those sorts of things, it only takes a few percent of that to drop off. We've had the very bad fires, you know, down in New South Wales and Victoria, you know, impact of the drought. When you start adjusting for a few of those things going down, you know, the country's making a loss. So when I talk about the economy being resilient, it'll be making a loss.
I take your point. So, Bill, small business support has very clearly come from the federal government, but there's also specific sort of loan programs from state government here in Queensland. They've given them things like land tax relief and deferment of payroll tax. How do you rate, or how does your organisation, Small Business Australia, rate what the Queensland state government has done in this area?
Look, everything that every state government, including the Queensland one, is doing to help is a help, and is looked upon very favourably by everyone that's in business, large and small. But things like payroll tax, many very small businesses don't pay payroll tax. You know, they don't pay land tax if they're actually renting their premises. So the landlord gets the benefit of that. And as long as we see the landlords come up with a reasonable arrangement with the small business tenant, that's good. It's actually getting shared. One of the complications, and it's not just a Queensland government thing, is that some of the various grants and things that have been made available, they're quite technical in nature, and they've got jargon associated with them, and they can be very difficult to understand. And what the sector's been calling for is that very much, to the extent that we're going to get stimulus and help, and it's a bit late now because a lot of it's gone out in various programs, is just to directly provide direct financial support to help the businesses get through.
Which is what's happening, say, in a place like the UK, I understand.
We can't speak with a lot of knowledge about the what's happening in the other various countries, but different approaches have been taken, it would appear, with everything to do with respect to managing, the COVID epidemic. Yeah. But again, I think what we're really encouraging here is very practical things we need. They're the people setting the policies to talk directly with the business owners to understand the mechanics as to what's going on. The business owners are in the risk economy, Steve.
Yes.
At the moment, they're bearing all the risk. I'm not seeing any. I don't think I've seen so many politicians appearing on Australian television ever in my 57 years of life. Every day they're on, from every state, and multiple of them. And I almost thought I was listening to something today. It was like a state of origin match or something was coming up between your two states.
Yes. Yeah. No. I take your point, and that's what's troubling me as well. It's still correct that small business is actually the biggest actual employer of Australians, isn't it? So small business collectively is still the biggest employer of Australian people.
Absolutely. So 2.2 million small business in December, total of 5 million people, including the owners employed, out of a total working population of about 11 million people.
Okay. We're talking about whether or not the loss of everything will be faced by businesses, as the Australian Small Business Australia Association says, 700,000 small businesses may permanently close in coming months if things don't change or turn around in terms of the border closures. You've been doing some research on the state of mind or the mental health of small business people. To wrap things up, what are you finding?
Yeah, look, 65% of the owners are concerned about their mental health and well-being. So you've got, two in three, effectively. You've got, a similar number are actually concerned about their own ability to meet their financial obligations for their own household, for their own family. So, again, the majority of small businesses are very small, Steve. They are providing livelihood for their own families and for a couple of employees. So there's a lot of concern. Again, I'm harbouring on about this bankruptcy thing, but a lot of people don't understand it. There's a lot of stigma associated with it. It needs to be simplified so this major fear and uncertainty can be taken away as soon as possible so that we can get people on the front foot with some hope and planning and taking the steps to get through.
So what's your message then, say, to the Queensland Premier, the New South Wales Premier, the West Australian Premier or the Victorian Premier as they hurl in political rhetoric and invective at each other about how great they are?
But I would love to see only one press conference taking place when the National Cabinet meets. And it's laying out what our national approach is. We've moved beyond guidelines. They've actually agreed the specifics of it. Yep. I think I recall, the initial thing around flattening the curve was to help the health system get all geared up to be able to handle the tsunami that was coming. And I think that's why borders were closed, et cetera. Let's get the health system all geared up. The virus, from what I've been reading, the data I've been looking at and all the testing we're doing, fantastic. We've done a fantastic job on it. But we better sort of get things swinging around now. Let's just assume we never get a vaccine. I think a lot of people are scared and still confused by all of this stuff. Let's educate everybody, give them the confidence that they're going to be okay, and let's get this country up and about again.
I'll let you get on with your business. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Bill Lang, Executive Director of Small Business Australia. Very keen to get your thoughts on Bill Lang's comments there. 1300-222-612 is my phone number. You give me a call or send me a text, 0467-922-612. It's 4:25 on the ABC.